Now, currently, the Australian Constitution does not actually mention Indigenous Australians. It doesn't talk about their occupancy before settlement. It doesn't recognise pre-existing Aboriginal rights. But with Scott Morrison's win in the election comes the first Indigenous Australian appointed to the Cabinet, Ken Wyatt, which seems like a promising step towards the recognition of Indigenous people's rights. To tell us a little bit more, we are joined by Associate Professor Dominic O'Sullivan from Charles Sturt University. Dominic, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning.
No worries at all.
So it is 2019. We still don't see Indigenous people recognised in the Constitution. What barriers have been in place that we haven't already seen this happen?
I think it's very simple. The barrier is political will. Indigenous peoples have been quite deliberately kept on the margins of politics since British settlement. The whole colonial rationale depended on Indigenous exclusion in favour of a new political order. And that's what's happened. And in other jurisdictions like Canada and New Zealand, we've seen Indigenous peoples able to participate in that new order and different and more robust ways than has been the case in Australia. But having said that, public mood does seem to be changing. While the Prime Minister at the time, Malcolm Turnbull, very quickly dismissed the idea of a constitutional referendum to amend the Constitution to allow a guaranteed Indigenous voice to Parliament, and Scott Morrison dismissed it too early on in his Prime Ministership, his mood seems to be changing a little bit with the public mood. And I think while it's a slow process, we can expect to see some work done to lay the ground for such a referendum over the term of the next Parliament. I think it's unlikely we'll see a referendum in the next 3 years, but we'll certainly see some preparatory work done, I think. And certainly there seems to me to be a united Indigenous acceptance that the guaranteed voice to Parliament is a good idea, and momentum is developing, although rather slowly, I think.
And you did mention referendums in there a couple of times, which is what would be needed to make the changes to the Constitution. I mean, we saw the plebiscite on same-sex marriage fairly recently, and some of the rhetoric that was thrown around during that time was really quite damaging to the population at the centre of it. Are you worried that something similar would happen if we were to have a referendum about Indigenous constitutional recognition?
I think that's likely. Because there's no hiding from the fact that racism does exist rather strongly in Australia. Racism is why Indigenous peoples are on the political margins. It's as simple as that. And although I did say public mood is changing, there's still a core of rather reactionary racist opinion, just as there was an equivalent with the same-sex marriage plebiscite, a strong core of quite homophobic thought. So there's probably no getting around that. But I guess one of the good things, though, is that when these things are raised, is that it gives others an opportunity to call them out for what they are, and to perhaps encourage society to move the debate on to something more inclusive and respectful.
What would it mean for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people to be recognised in the Constitution?
Well, I think that's a question Indigenous people have to answer for themselves. But what I can say is that what it would mean for Australian democracy is that it would be more inclusive, more respectful. And the idea of one person, one vote of equal value would perhaps be paralleled with the idea of one vote, one voice of equal value. The fact that everyone gets to vote doesn't necessarily mean that everyone has the same capacity to influence policy outcomes. There are all sorts of variables that influence whether one is a person of influence or part of a group that is a group of influence. And I think what the the idea of the voice would mean for Australian democracy is that there could never be a policy proposal put to the Parliament that Indigenous people could be silenced on. There would be a mechanism structured into the Constitution to allow Indigenous people to comment and critique and propose alternatives. And while that wouldn't ensure that no racially discriminatory legislation could ever be passed, it would ensure that whenever such is proposed, it would be identified and it would have to be defended to the public in a more robust way than is presently the case. And I think that offers a significant protection against discrimination, but it also allows democracy to work better by ensuring that different perspectives are heard.
And just before I let you go, Dominic, Scott Morrison has just appointed Australia's first Indigenous Cabinet Minister, Ken Wyatt, to the portfolio for Indigenous Affairs. Do you think that this is a sign that we might be one step closer?
It's very significant, but it is a small step. One of the reasons that there hasn't been an Indigenous minister in the Cabinet previously is that because there have never been significant numbers of Indigenous people in the Parliament. So the pool from which to draw ministers has been very small and sometimes non-existent. We should remember that Ken Wyatt is the only Indigenous member of the government. He's a member of the Liberal Party, the Coalition Party, the Nationals. Have never had an Indigenous member of Parliament and certainly don't get a significant share of the Indigenous vote. So while significant and people are certainly celebrating this appointment, it also shows just how far to the sidelines Indigenous peoples and politics are, that we're celebrating this as a first appointment 118 years after the Australian Federation.
Dominic, we really appreciate you speaking to us this morning. Thanks so much for your time.
Very happy to talk.
That was Associate Professor Dominic O'Sullivan chatting with us about constitutional recognition of Indigenous people. I mean, at the moment, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people aren't mentioned at all in the Constitution, but hopefully that's beginning to change.